Hey, Church on the Ridge, my name's April, and if you don't know who I am, I have the wonderful privilege of serving our youth. And basically how my role works is when your teenager is acting out, giving you way too much sass at home, and basically being a teenager, you just send them to me, I'll work my magic, and send them home brand new. Okay, so in theory, that would be really awesome, but that's not always the case. But speaking of attitude, we are talking all things emotions in this series, specifically awareness in our emotions and in others' emotions. So Church on the Ridge, they obviously decided to call in the expert because if you don't know this, my Myers-Briggs personality test reveals I am 99% feeling and 1% thought. Now, I don't know if hearing this information, this now qualifies me in your mind for this conversation or completely disqualifies me, but together we are going to find out. It may even be an emotional roller coaster because I did say 99% feeling. But we learned in week one of emotional sickness about self-awareness, that we each send a ripple effect of our own emotions. And really, church, the goal of this series is to take time to shape and develop our emotional intelligence, which is way more than only being aware of our own emotions, but truly the emotions of others. And that's why this week we are talking about social awareness, the ability to pick up on the emotions, the attitude, the feelings, and others, and really understand what's truly going on. Now, fortunately, some people make this whole picking up on emotions and others so easy. Okay, these are the individuals that you will have absolutely no questions or confusion when it comes to picking up on their emotions and what they mean. Okay, these are the people, they have learned their right to execute and their right of nonverbals very freely. Okay, they are slamming doors when they're angry, murmuring under breath when annoyed, and my personal favorite, specifically from the youth, this probably never happens to any of you parents at home, but it's the eye roll, the classic, right? Okay, see, their facial expressions and nonverbals, they speak very clearly what is going on through their head. And see, being a 99% feeler, I bet you can guess where I fall in this. So you can be praying for Pastor Stephen, Andrew, as I'm getting married to him soon. These both get to deal with all of these emotions. However, this isn't the case for everyone. You see, other people, they make reading their emotions very difficult to understand because they have what we call the serious case of RBF, and I'll let you decide if you want to break down that abbreviation, but if you don't know what it means, let's just say it's the moments when the person you are talking to, well, they lack the ability to show facial expressions and you have no idea how to read them. Okay, if you're like me, when you're talking to a person with absolutely no facial expressions, you're going to find yourself trying to land somewhere, anywhere in your conversation, but you're going to lack all confidence because you can't seem to read the person and their emotions. In your thoughts, you're thinking, do they like me? Do they hate me? Do I have something in my teeth right now? Am I making any sense? Maybe they're even unfriending me on social media as we speak. And what ends up happening is you walk away feeling extremely confused and in some serious need of major therapy, okay? And as a good communicator, we make it an art to learn the skill of reading a room. It's pretty obvious when speaking in front of an audience to know whether or not you are engaging or not. Okay, if you see the guy in the back row who's asleep, well, you probably need to add some fluctuation to your voice because you're sounding a bit monotone. We can all think of our high school classes we took with that teacher. It didn't matter what they were talking about. You're falling asleep, okay, because their voice was the exact same pitch the whole time. Okay, or Church on the Ridge, we served coffee when we were here in person. I know some of you, you miss that coffee because now you have to take all your time to make your own coffee at home. It's just ridiculous, okay? Well, people, man, they're leaving because they have to go to the bathroom because the coffee hit them, you know, in just the right way. When really we all know they just need some movement, not that kind of movement, another kind of movement so they don't fall asleep like the guy in the back row or the worst, the absolute worst. Man, they leave to go and check on their kids. Okay, this is a huge sign in church that you're not doing too hot as a communicator because if we're honest, We all know that childcare, as great as the preschool and elementary and youth programs are, man, this is free babysitting, okay? You're excited to get a break from them. In fact, you're so thankful that Church on the Ridge has multiple gatherings because you just want to sign yourself up for every gathering just to take a break from your kids, okay? So fortunately, I'm speaking to a camera right now, so I can't see what you're doing, if you're on your phone, making food, getting onto your kids, so I'm choosing to assume I'm incredibly engaging. You're stopping everything from distracting you from listening because it's Pastor April sharing. You're texting your friends, your family. You're like, get on right now. You've got to listen. So I'm excited to be sharing because this is going to be a great conversation. Yet none of these above examples that I just shared with you, none of them apply when you are speaking to youth because youth, they are pros at multitasking, okay? I speak in front of the youth every Thursday, and this is my interaction. They can be on their phones, posting a selfie on Instagram. They're checking out the new girl in youth group, making a plan of how to get her digits. And still, they'll come after me after the message to say how powerful it was. And they'll list all of the points that connected to them. And the crazy thing is none of these points, none of them even rhymed, but they're able to give them back. So I often tell people, if you can speak to youth, you can literally speak to anyone. You see, typically, when it comes to picking up on the emotions of others, we become front row learners of the people we are in close proximity of. Okay, it's people like your spouse. As many of you know, I'm getting married in less than a month to Andrew. And man, Andrew and I, we love each other so much. And because we love each other so much, sometimes we like to test that love, you know, have some healthy, challenging conversations. Okay, so we argue from time to time. We're human, okay? And really, our arguments, they're most of the time based off of reading each other's nonverbals incorrectly. We will miss the entire argument, the real issue going on, just because, man, the worst thing, I love you, Andrew, when you're watching this, but he'll laugh at me because I'm saying ridiculous things when I'm angry, or he thinks it's cute with the things that I say, and we'll just get stuck on these nonverbals and these emotional cues that we're missing and not even get to the real issue. And I'm sure none of you relate. You're perfect with your spouse. None of this happens. But if you have any advice, give it to us. We're brand new. We could use it. But it's not just with your spouse. It's with your friends. It's with your coworkers. Because when we spend so much time with certain people, it becomes easy to pick up on their social cues. Yet, church, this is the point of today. This is what I want to hit at. What about those that aren't in close proximity? You see, my challenge for us is to not only improve in our social awareness of those in close proximity, but those at a distance. I mean, our neighbors, people in the grocery store, someone over the phone, maybe it's family that doesn't live close by. You see, I believe during this year of 2020, God is casting vision to us to become learners of his people, to ignite us all together in our brokenness and utter need of him. See, this is why Jesus is such a great example to us of how he excelled in emotional intelligence, specifically social awareness for today. And not only with those he was close with, his disciples and his inner circle, but every single person he came in contact with. All throughout his ministry, you can see how great he was at this. And today we're going to look at Jesus and his encounter with a woman at a well in John 4, 5 through 10, and see how he shared with us how we can lean in to the context of people to grow in our understanding and empathy of their emotions. So in John 4, 5 through 10, it says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" You see, his disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." But Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you had have asked me and he would have given you living water. Church, it can be so easy to miss out on social cues of others by simply putting ourselves first and others last. We can get focused on how we feel rather than how others feel. And the signs are always right there in front of us, but we must have eyes to see and hearts full of understanding. And there are four key things that I want to point out to you from this story that we can learn from Jesus when it comes to social awareness. Something I love about the Bible is that you can read a story more than once, 10 times even, and you can learn something different every single time. There is so much to unpack, so many context clues, and that's what we're looking at. Okay, the first thing we need to know is that Jesus was tired. In fact, this is something that is a common occurrence that came throughout his ministry. He is often tired, hungry, thirsty. He's had long, full days, but it's in those moments that the most impactful things take place. Okay, in this story, he had a long journey, and not only was he tired, but he's hungry and thirsty. Hello, hangry, okay? Let's not forget, Jesus was fully man too. And I have shared with you all before that I like to go to bed at 8:30 p.m. I know, I'm a grandma, but my sleep is not a game to be messed with. And this isn't like it's a new thing for me, but this has been since I was little. 3 or 4, I'm coming to my mom and dad and I say, hey, it's been a long day. I'm going to go retire for the night. I need to get some sleep. You know, I know you guys may want to hang out more, but I'm going to do the right thing and get some sleep. This followed me to sleepovers. I've shared it wasn't good, okay? You don't want to be the first one to fall asleep at a sleepover, even though it's called a sleepover. It doesn't make sense still to this day. College, even through college, I was in bed, okay? And now you're adding in being hungry, and I trust me, you don't want to mess with me when those two are combined. And does it not always seem that people are in need of their deep thoughts to be heard late at night or in the most inconvenient times? Like, seriously, what is up with that? It's your kids before you put them to bed at night. You've had a long day, and now they want to share with you what's going on, maybe struggles at school or with friends. It's your spouse as you're laying in bed about to go to sleep because it's been a long day at work, and they start to really open up with you. Or a friend calls you in the middle of your favorite TV show. Or your neighbor after you come back from the grocery store, you're trying to hide behind your grocery bag, like, please don't talk to me. And still, there they are. And you see, when I'm tired, it's hard for me to put my focus on others. But we are called to lean in like Jesus. And here we read that Jesus purposefully brought himself to the well to meet with this woman. He positioned himself for inconvenience because he knew the heart that needed him. You and I, we avoid inconvenience, but Jesus, he positioned himself for it. You see, we need to see that inconvenience is an invitation. It's an invitation to meet people right where they're at. Second thing, it was noon. Seems like random information for us to tell in this story or for us to know, but what we need to know is that this was an uncommon time to collect water from the well. You see, Samaritans didn't go at this time. So it reveals that she didn't want to go to the well when others would be around. This woman, she was caught in sin. She was living in shame and pain. There was some major hurt in her life. She didn't want to have to deal with running into, you know, that certain person. So she drove to the Issaquah Safeway to avoid Snoqualmie Safeway. Or when you're running into a store and you see that certain person and you pick up your phone really quick to pretend you're on a really important call, or dodge the aisle like you're back in high school avoiding your crush. You can amen that. No one can hear you. It's safe. Yet Jesus, man, he paid a close attention to those details because he cares for our hearts and he chooses to have eyes to see what we may not see, what we may not reveal with our own words. He is intentional by paying attention to details and context clues. He knew when she would come and he met her there. You see, he wanted to know. He didn't care where she had been, but he only cared about who she could choose to be and where she would choose to go. How often do we allow our assumptions of others to get in the way of the truth of what Jesus says about a person? Third thing, he prompted her to do something for him. You know, even though he could do it himself, he asked her for water. I know in your mind you're thinking it's like, hey, girl, go make me a sandwich. Well, this isn't what Jesus was doing here. Okay, this is the Son of God, the living fount that never runs dry, and he's asking her for water. He didn't need her to do it, but he wanted her to. And he asked this question to reveal to him from her perspective the condition of her heart. See, God knew her problem. He knew the sin she was in. And rather than leading from the problem or even the solution to her problem, he started with a question that would allow him to listen to her heart. How many times do we put ourselves in the situation to simply listen to others? Your kid's in trouble. They've got some things going on. How often before you start disciplining them and yelling at them or telling what they should have done or trying to fix a problem, how often do you just sit back and listen to their heart and hear what they're trying to communicate with a friend, with a spouse? How often do we position ourselves just to listen first, not to spit out all the answers, but to hear their heart before we direct them? Jesus wanted to see and hear the heart. She was trying to do such a good time for such a long time, such a good job at hiding it. And even though he knew the problem already, because he is God, he wanted her to know he cared so much more to hear it from her mouth, her pain, from her perspective. Oftentimes we think because God knows all things, it doesn't mean as much to bring our pain or troubles before him, right? Like, he already knows it. I don't need to tell him. However, he desires to hear it from your perspective. There is something so sweet and healing when we choose to be vulnerable in front of our Maker, confessing the struggles. Man, he wants to connect with us. He wants to hear, just like he was right here with this woman, just like we need to be with other people. And lastly, it says she is a Samaritan and a woman. She immediately says to Jesus, "Why are you talking to me? Why are you associating with me? Why do you even care? Man, if you knew where I'd been, if you knew who I was, if you saw how everyone else, they ignore me, they pass by, they whisper about me, you would not be talking to me right now." And Jesus chose to reveal himself as Messiah, the Son of God, for the very first time to this woman, someone as an outcast in her own society, someone he wasn't even supposed to be associating with, because he saw something in her and he let the Holy Spirit lead him past human knowledge and logic. Man, church, can we just be thankful that he sees us, that he knows our hearts, that he sees beyond where we've been or what we've done, and he pursues us. I mean, he doesn't care what others are saying, and he's calling us to do the same thing. He didn't allow what others portrayed her as to define what he already knew about her. She was a daughter of God, and no label or no sin could interfere with that truth. You see, God came for all people. And during this time of his ministry, he focused on the Samaritans, and on top of that, a woman, a group marginalized and unseen. Who are we to determine the potential and worth of individuals but God? Who are we but God? And the woman, she walks away from this situation healed and transformed, free of her bondage, free of her shame, fully aware of who she is, and most importantly, who Jesus is. She goes to share the good news with others. Her life would never be the same, all because one person stopped to take the time to notice her pain she tried to cover, and read all the emotional clues to know she needed help. She couldn't say it in her own words. She didn't even know how to bring herself, but Jesus, man, his eyes, his heart was open. What she couldn't communicate with her words, Jesus stopped to help her. He changed her life. He went out of his way to meet with the Samaritan woman, someone he was not to associate with, after a tiresome day, to show he saw her, that he was listening, and he wanted to offer everlasting change to her life. Church, our great commission is to share the love of Jesus with all people. The goal is to become people of understanding in this series. When we interact with others, not just those that live close with us in our house, people we see every day, maybe in the office, but everywhere we go. And we need to be like Jesus, where we are so good at reading hearts. Jesus, all throughout his ministry, he leaned into uncomfortable situations to understand people. You and I have the same opportunity, the same invitation every day to join in the work of the Holy Spirit, to go and share Jesus by taking time to listen, to understand the emotions of others, choosing to make room to hear what others may not have the ability to say. We can take part of the transformative power of Jesus when we put ourselves last and we put others first. And here's the good news. Wherever you are, you and I, no matter where we're at, we can all grow in our emotional intelligence. So I want to give you three quick tips. So if you haven't been taking notes, this is the time. Because I want to help as a church for us to raise our social awareness. This isn't just, I'm not perfect at this. I'm learning in this too. It's for all of us. And the first thing is this. Give others your full attention. Be fully present. This is a hard one. It says in James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You and I, we live in a culture of multitasking. Right? We need to probably set a designated time to connect with our spouse, our kids, our friends. We have to learn to put the phone down. Okay, maybe it's at night before you go to bed. As a family, you choose, we're turning our phones in at 9 p.m. I mean, we're not allowing phones at the dinner table no matter what comes up. This is important. It's making eye contact with the person. Man, that's the worst when you are laying out your heart, spilling how your day went, and you can tell when someone's mind is elsewhere. They're thinking of their laundry list of things to do. Put away the phone, make eye contact, and just listen. COVID-19 is an opportunity to slow down with family. Now, I know we were like, this was a great thought and a great suggestion in the beginning of all this, but now we're like 4 months in and still going. Like, April, I think we've learned it. But here's the truth. We're still in it. There's still something to learn. COVID-19, it will come to an end. And when it does, will we be able to look back and say, man, I learned everything I was meant to learn. I grew in the areas that God called me to. I became a better individual of listening and understanding others. Let's not miss this opportunity. And the second thing is ask questions. Get better at asking questions. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight and airing their own opinions. One of my favorite questions that someone used to ask me a lot in college was just a simple question of, how's your heart? How's your heart? I would be sharing what's going on and they would just pause me, say, how's your heart, April? What's going on? It was this invitation, man, just to share. And it felt like I was needed, that I was important. Stephen Salmon's my boss and I interact with him on a daily basis. And we have a lot of one-offs and one-on-ones with each other. And I don't always like to tell him that he's good at this, so you're welcome, Stephen. And I don't always love that he's so good at this because I don't always enjoy it, but he's always great at stopping me in my mid-sentence to say, hey, April, how are you doing? He's able to sense that something's off, probably because I'm a 99% feeler and my facial expressions are definitely alert and out there. And all it does is it calms my spirit to really let my heart just unwind. It's a safe place. Can we ask people questions? Can we give them an invitation to slow down, to be present, and to hear their hearts? And lastly, step into others' shoes. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus became fully human to understand us. He came down to earth to know our thoughts, to interact in the things we interact with, to know everything about us because he wanted to know us. He wanted to be able to empathize with us. When's the last time you practiced empathy? When's the last time you put yourself in someone else's shoes? Andrew and I have learned a lot of really cool tips as we went through marriage counseling. And one of the things we learned actually from my parents was this tip of taking a time out. You know, sometimes we'll be in heated conversations and nothing productive happens when you're just going this way and that way and you're yelling and things are crazy. So you call a time out and you go and you take time to really put yourself in their shoes. Man, what are they trying to communicate? What's going on in their heart? What am I not seeing because I'm putting myself first and only thinking about me? And then we come back, and it's amazing to see the growth that happens in simply taking time to put ourselves in each other's shoes. Church on the Ridge, let's grow in our social awareness to see and understand people's emotions. Let's choose to notice and see a person the way God notices and sees us. You know, pray for God to open your eyes to the people around you and beyond your proximity. Ask to have his heart. The three things: give others your full attention, two, ask questions, and three, step into others' shoes. So church, let me pray for you. God, we thank you for your ability to see us, to read us so well when maybe we can't communicate it, when we can't express it. You know us. You know every thought that goes in our head, every hair that's on our head. God, would we ask you, would we demonstrate that with every single person we come in contact with? Would we do a better job at putting ourselves last and putting others first, having a heart and eyes to see? To see the people that you've called us to reach, because each one of us, I mean, we're assigned names, names to bring home with us to heaven. There are people that you place specifically in our lives for us to be a loving example, to show them the extension of your hands and feet. So God, we thank you for this time to learn more on how to be socially aware with those we live close with and those that we don't. But God, truly, we ask for your help and your guidance. It's a tricky season in our life. There's a lot of things going on, and we know that you give us grace, but give us the strength and the ability, no matter how tired we are, no matter how hungry or stressed out, or how everything isn't going the way we thought it would, allow us to see people the way you do. God, we ask that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.